This is C. Brown. I'm the field crop research and extension entomologist for the University of Tennessee. It's June 30th, and I'm just going to give a quick update on the calls I've been getting over the past week or so, primarily due to plant bugs and cotton getting ready to bloom. So plant bug numbers are all over the place. If you're next to corn, they're probably pretty high. I've gotten a lot of those phone calls. If you're next to beans, lots of beans especially that are starting to, that are blooming or have been blooming, they're hanging on to plant bugs as well. Alternative hosts, CRP ground. I mean, there's kind of runs the gamut. And then there's also fields on the other side of that spectrum that have not sprayed once and they're almost at bloom and they're just not picking up plant bugs or and have really good square retention. So we're, you know, opposite ends of the spectrum. As far as positioning insecticides, I mean, and I put a blog post out about this, but I'll kind of sum it up real quick. Neonics, once you see a flower, are done. In my opinion, there is no need for a neonic past bloom. Once you see a flower, put them back on the shelf. They're no good. Everywhere, every time I have a test with a neonic past bloom, it is the worst treatment in the test. So move on to Transform, Diamond, Acephate, Biodrin, Vertento, any of those are going to be fine and more appropriate for when you're in bloom. You're going to get better control. You know, I do like Diamond around the first bloom period. Mississippi State has theirs around the third week of square. Third week of square, first bloom. I mean, really, you're kind of splitting hairs there. I like to see it on first bloom when we start seeing a flower. I think we get better ROI for us in Tennessee around that first bloom time point. Although if you drop it third week of square, it's not a bad time either. I just think you kind of get a little bit more out of that Diamond when you start seeing flowers. And you know, Diamond's going to work better on small plant bugs. So, I mean, we're talking first, second instar hatch outs. And why that first bloom timing is important is that you're timing the adults have come in, they've laid eggs, you're timing the hatch out into bloom. And a lot of time that coincides about perfect for us is they're hatching into fresh Diamond residual, which is going to give you good control. Now, if you hit that timing a little later and you've already got immature plant bugs in there, say second or thirds, it's going to take it longer to kill them. So you're looking at, I've seen Diamond take as long as 10 days before it really starts taking effect. Average is probably 3 to 5, on the sometimes 7. So being a growth regulator, it's really hard to time. You've got to get the, you have to time it with the plant bugs if you can. You know, if not, I mean, just drop it. It's going to work, but it just might take a little bit longer if you're trying to kill bigger nymphs. Needs an adulticide. I like Transform. I like Acephate. Biodrin has been looking better in my tests the past couple years than it has in previous years. So Biodrin is another good option. The fear I have with Acephate, especially as hot and as dry as we are, our aphids are already out there. I've gotten a couple aphid calls already. If you've got aphids, Acephate's going to help you find them. And so just be careful with that one. I know everybody knows that, but just be prepared that if you're going to throw Acephate in or if you've been running Acephate, you may find aphids or spider mites. You know, obviously, if you've got aphids, you want to kill plant bugs. Transform is a great option. 1.5 ounces. The plant bug rate will absolutely smoke every aphid in the field. If you've just got aphids out there, you can run 3/4 to 1 ounce of Transform. 1 ounce looks a little bit better than 3/4, but, you know, it does work. Even at the 3/4 rate, just make sure you get your gallonage up there. You're putting out 10 GPA because you need to get the good, you need to get good coverage. Vertento use. I've had a lot of guys ask me, would Vertento work on the migrating adult plant bug populations? It absolutely will. I've seen it at that stage. Where I'm recommending it is just typically in the bloom window, specifically peak bloom, where you take advantage of all the attributes that it brings with stink bug, plant bug, and spider mite. A lot of times spider mite numbers don't blow up until after bloom unless you just have a hot spot. So if you want to take advantage of the residual that Vertento brings as well as the spectrum with killing some stink bugs, I would hang on to that Vertento shot unless you want to apply it twice, which is fine. I would hang on to that peak bloom window so you can kind of catch all that. But if you want to use it in migrating plant bugs, it absolutely will work. I've seen it work. It is a good product. Just a little word of caution is that, and something we've talked about before, is Vertento sometimes can be slow on the front end. And so I've seen it take 3 days to take off, sometimes 4. And so what happens is that it is the product is working. It causes feeding cessation in plant bugs, stink bugs, spider mites. It just outright kills them by about the third day. But there is some feeding cessation that occurs. So the plant bugs might be there, but technically they're not causing damage because they've cessated feeding. They just haven't died yet. And so that's going to be a little bit different. And so that's something you may have to take into consideration if you're scouting and you're still seeing bugs. That's why square retention is so important. If you're not seeing dirty blooms and you got good square retention, that means that what you sprayed is working. It's just you have a migration, or if you sprayed Vertento, they may be intoxicated. They just haven't died yet. So just keep that in mind with this product. I've got a lot of questions about adjuvants. You know, the adjuvant that I have looked at in all my tests is Dynamic. Not that I recommend Dynamic over any other adjuvant. This is just what Syngenta had asked for. And so, and this is, we've been very open about this as the Mid-South group. You don't have to use Dynamic. You can run LI-700. You can run a crop oil. You can run a methylated seed oil. It doesn't matter. Just, you need to have a good quality surfactant, an oil-based surfactant. We've got data that shows that the oil-based surfactants are better than the NIS, the non-ionic surfactants. So just as long as you run an oil or some kind of premium organosilicone, if you decide you want to run LI-700 or Dynamic, that works great. They don't have to go on at 1%. They can go on at 0.25%. I've looked at it 0.25 to 1, and I see no differences in control. So you can drop it in at 0.25%. The big thing you have to remember is you just need a surfactant, because it will fall on its face if it does not have a surfactant. So just keep that in mind. Kind of switching out from cotton, going to corn. I've got questions. There's a lot of conventional corn grown in our environment this year. Guys are asking me about spraying for earworms. Our earworm trap catches have been very low. I haven't seen any moths. Our trap catches are in single digits across all of West Tennessee from north to south. We haven't seen a flight yet. I think they're all sucked up in the corn right now. And so if you're at the stage where you're susceptible, guys want to start, especially if they're fungiciding their corn and they want to add an insecticide with it, we do not recommend that at UT for the sheer fact that you are going to throw your money away. We cannot kill corn earworm in corn ears with a fungicide spray or an over-the-top spray. We have looked at this as a group. I've looked at it for years. We cannot get good control. Even though they lay eggs on the silks grow so much. I think silks grow 2 inches a day. They grow so much that that insecticide is going to basically, where it hits is where it stays. And so if they lay eggs on a part of the silk that is not treated, they will emerge, feed on a very small part of the silk, and then crawl into the ear. And so they'll crawl across insecticide residue just to get into the ear, because you're not going to get penetration through the husk into the ear. No insecticides that we have are going to translocate up the silk into the ear. So just keep that in mind. And I know a lot of guys, you know, want to run Corgen Evo or some of the generic diamides. You can, but just keep in mind that sweet corn growers in Florida, I know several of these guys and the entomologists that work down there, they spray 9 to 11 times a year to kill worms in the ear for the fresh sweet corn market. So, and we've showed this through research, you've got to spray roughly every 3 days at silking to even have a prayer of a chance of controlling worms in the ear. So the takeaway from that is don't spray, you know, we don't recommend it. Don't spray for worms in the ear. We don't see it economically pay off. And so just keep that in mind. Soybeans are quiet, not much else going on. Like I said, I want to try to keep this update short. My last one went way long. This one's going longer than I wanted, but if you ever have a question or concern, please feel free to contact me, 318-498-1283. Thanks, bye.